as we look at these wonderful words of Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is talking here to Martha. Martha, as in Mary and Martha, who's just lost her beloved brother. So she is obviously devastated. And not just devastated, she's clearly disappointed. She says to Jesus, I'm not going to read from the passage tonight. We're in John chapter 11. Turn there and look at the verses if you like. I'm not going to try and read all the verses though. But she says to Jesus, when Jesus finally arrives after her beloved brother has died, Lord, if you'd only been here, he wouldn't have died. And I don't think that's a rebuke. I think that's just disappointment in her. And yet she's still trusting in who Jesus is. The confession that follows a few verses later shows that she is still believing in Jesus and who he is, but at this particular moment, probably by the skin of her teeth. So often that's the believer in Jesus, isn't it? Maybe it's you tonight, that you feel you still trust him, but you feel like you're doing it by the skin of your teeth. You feel like, to use the biblical language, a bruised reed or a smoldering wick. You know, the spark is still there just about, but it really feels like it's just about. And what I love here is that Jesus, for all his power that he's about to demonstrate, will be tender with her. Far from rebuking this bereaved sister for her grief, he shortly afterwards is weeping at her brother's graveside because of the deep sadness of human suffering and grief that he feels with her and with the family. And I love that Jesus, knowing what he's going to do, weeps with Martha. But he also has a greater reality to point her to and to point us to this evening. And this is why he delayed his visit to the family in the first place. He knew Lazarus was going to die. And what he needs to tell her, he sets up by speaking to her of a future resurrection day. If you're in chapter 11, you read this in verse 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now we know what he's about to do. Sorry if this is a spoiler and if you don't know the story, but he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he says, your brother will rise again. We think we know what he means, but probably the sense there is the general sense that Jews believed that there would be a resurrection on the last day. We know that because Martha says in verse 24, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But he's got something more important to tell her, more urgent to tell her, and so he sets it up by speaking of the future resurrection day. She's a good Jewess, and she believes Lazarus, her brother, will rise again one day in the future. She's a bit fuzzy on the details, maybe, from her Old Testament, or our Old Testament, I should say, but she believes he will rise again. And then Jesus' shocking words, they're jarring words, and they're, for us, of course, very, very sweet words. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus wasn't just saying here that he could bring about resurrection. Jesus was saying he was the resurrection. It's as if he was saying to her, yes, Martha, you're right. There is a future resurrection day, one day when all will rise from the graves. But Martha, that day is here now in one sense because I'm here. He was saying, I am that resurrection day. I am the resurrection. He's the life. You read that in chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So he can say this. So as you know, you probably know now, because I spoiled the surprise, Jesus goes on to reanimate Lazarus's indisputably 3 days dead body to bring it out of the tomb. He's going to reunite Lazarus' body with Lazarus' soul and bring him out of the grave simply by the power of his word. This is God the Son who creates new life with his very words, just like his Father does in Genesis chapter 1. But before he showed Martha that he could do that, he told Martha that he was going to do that, or that he could do that. He wanted her to walk by faith, not by sight. So before he showed her that he could raise someone from the dead, he told her that he was the resurrection and the life. So he asks a very pointed but very loving question, do you believe this? He says that I am the resurrection and the life, do you believe this? And John's readers, and that includes us, we are meant to ask the same question of ourselves. Jesus says to us tonight, I am the resurrection and the life, do we believe it? If we do believe this, it transforms our life. That's not overstatement, is it? To say, if we truly believe this, it transforms our life. If we truly believe this, it transforms our death. It transforms our life because Jesus, who is the resurrection, pours his very resurrection life and power into us when he saves us, when he rescues us, when we come to faith, which means that we now have eternal life. We're in present possession of eternal life that can never end. That's how it transforms our life. It transforms our death, if we believe this, our view of our forthcoming death, and our experience of death, because trusting Christ means we will go immediately into the presence of Jesus when we die, and we can't, as believers, be separated from Jesus for a nanosecond. It's impossible. We go into his presence when we die, and that we will then joyfully wait until Jesus' second coming, upon which we will receive new bodies, resurrection bodies. In case anybody here is thinking, come on, I can't believe you guys actually believe this. Do you know, this is no problem. Once you believe, not in a universe that created itself from nothing and randomly evolved life, but you believe in a creator God who created everything out of nothing just by his word, the fact that he can give new resurrection bodies to people who believe in him is nothing. And this is what he will do. This is what his word says. And the body that we will have is better than Lazarus's miraculously reanimated one. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he would die again. But Lazarus's body, when it came out of the grave, was really just like, you know, like a trailer to a movie. It was the trailer to Jesus' resurrection from the dead, which is the trailer to our resurrection from the dead. Jesus' resurrection body was glorious, never to die, and that's what our resurrection bodies would be like. Lazarus's body coming out of the grave was just a pale foreglimmering of that. So what this means is if you have trusted Jesus and you are trusting him now, even if you do feel like a bruised reed and a smoldering wick, you will experience the resurrection from the dead to eternal life. And that is guaranteed because that resurrection life is already at work in you. Romans 8:11, Paul says to the Romans, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. You're a believer because the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and that Holy Spirit will never leave you, and that Holy Spirit is the power that will bring you from the grave one day in a resurrection body. Jesus is the resurrection of the life and the life. What do we do with this? As we turn in a moment in our groups to pray together in response to this, what do we do with this? Can I suggest firstly that we thank Jesus that if we have trusted him, his resurrection life and power has already worked in us and is at work in us and will continue to be at work in us. Let's thank him for that. By his spirit, resurrection life, miraculous life is at work within us. Christians have a supernatural faith. We don't just have a nice code of ethics that makes life better until we die. It's a supernatural faith. We will rise from the dead. And we know that because the spirit works in us. Let's thank God for that. Let's thank Jesus that he weeps with us in our tears. This is God the Son who weeps with someone at the tomb of their brother. He doesn't say to her, Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. What are you upset about? He weeps with her. This is what our Savior is like. Let's thank Jesus that our lives are transformed by the hope we have, and that in Jesus we don't grieve as those with no hope. We do still grieve, but not as those with no hope. Nor do we have to fear death as the world does. Let's thank God for that. And let's ask him to increasingly transform our living in light of the fact that we don't have to fear dying anymore. Let's ask him to wean us off the fear of death, which still remains for us, doesn't it, to some degree. We don't have to fear death because we are in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, and he will never let us go.